What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now we come to the thrilling final episode of our radio drama.
Broadcasting from beautiful and safe Brighton, Massachusetts.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative. Gets the people going.
The Greg Hill Morning Show. Starring.
I'm here for it, bro.
I'm sure Greg Hill does a mediocre job.
What is wrong with a man who loves a dog?
Greg Hill.
So your Pats aren't at the bottom of the division. They sit at second in the AFC East after week one.
I think we're trying to figure out how can they be in second place with a win.
If you would like me to pull up the NFL website, that'd be great.
Yeah, now we need answers for this one.
I think the New England Patriots are in first place in the division.
I thought it was a three-way tie.
That's what I would say.
Featuring the original spark of the Pats dynasty.
All right, what up, adults?
Yes, queen. I did not know that.
Wiggy.
Like Ty said, he now has to get over the mental hump of like, all right, my Achilles is fine. My Achilles is fine. My Achilles is telling himself.
Greg, Wiggy does mental humps.
You know? Joined by the relationship alpha.
Here's seismologist that turns my tune.
Courtney Cox.
Instead of that cornball on the blind date game.
Well, John was very nice. Thank you for your service, John. I believe he is deported right now.
He was boring, though, but thanks for the service.
And oh, wait, no. I'm sorry, not deported. He is
deported? You mean deployed, perhaps? Okay.
And accompanied by...
The real Slim Shiny. Please.
I'm standing up.
Two big brains behind the glass.
Get past that.
Like, talk to me, Daddy.
Curtis and Shime.
It must be... that Bill told them they can't ask about the Patriots if they win. It has to be true.
Oh, wait, wow. I'm the bitter one? Am I petty?
Now.
Sweet, sweet taste of victory.
And I am 100% passing judgment.
It's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show.
This is a godforsaken bunch of... You guys, I've never heard of this name in my life.
On Boston Sports Original.
The vibes are immaculate right now.
You're just all about a good time, a good vibe. You're a vibe curator.
W-E-E.
When I say Greg Hill and you say show, Greg Hill! Greg Hill!
Go!
Greg Hill!
Show!
All right. Show.
It's hump day.
That it is.
Coach, coach making it an athleisure Wednesday.
Yeah. We were talking about the joggers the other day.
Yep.
So,
yes.
Excuse me, I pulled out my Jordan Craig.
I like
JC
it.
Joggers.
Bright red.
Yeah, for the big fellas. You know what I mean? It's big dog season.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Looking great, coach.
Appreciate it.
As are you, Courtney.
Craig.
Thank you so much.
Morning. Hello. Welcome. Hi, Shime. Hi, Curtis.
Hello.
What's cooking?
Well, it is a quick reminder. It is September 11th, and it was 23 years ago that this country was attacked. So just an opportunity to think about that, stop, mm-hmm. and remember those who lost their lives 23 years ago and those incredibly brave first responders who went into those buildings in New York and into the Pentagon and all of those who were affected by that awful day 23 years ago today. So,
and reminder, if you're looking for something to watch, to remember that day, The Man in the Red Bandana.
Yes, you always recommend that,
yes.
And it is great. Also, Curtis has recommended to me at one point the documentary which follows President Bush all around the country that day, What is the name of that, Curtis?
On Apple TV, 9/11. I'll get the exact title, but it's Apple TV produced that.
It's so interesting. So interesting.
And what was it on Netflix? One Day in America?
I believe that was the first of that series.
Okay.
It was six parts, and that really chronologically goes through the timing of the day with people that were... I will never forget that One Day in America, 9/11. I believe that's what it's called. Where the gentleman that worked at the restaurant on top of the World Trade Tower, he was in the second floor, I'm sorry. And he said he opened the, mezzanine door.
Yeah.
And the way this guy retold it 20 years later, where he just said, I didn't know if it was, the bunch of papers, and I was looking at the ground, and he's like, it was just body parts. Mm. The brain can't fathom opening a door to go outside because you hear a boom. You don't know what happened.
Yeah.
They went. There was a woman who was struck by a wheel of one of the planes in her back, bisected. And this person who was just a EMT going every day trying to help people save lives. And he comes upon her on his way to the Twin Towers. And she survived.
Yeah.
But it's just an unbelievable, series.
You were, 7 years old?
I was in fourth grade.
Okay. Do you remember exactly what happened?
And I said this last year. I think back to that day, and it was like the taking of my innocence. Because I remember being at school. I remember kids getting dismissed from school, fourth grade, and I'm wondering what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I've had anxiety my whole life, so you can imagine how that affected me. And I remember the teachers saying we're not going out for any type of recess. And the story they gave was there was a big car accident. And I'm like, how does that affect? And then they told us it was the bees outside. Oh, there was a million different things that they told us.
We are now getting to the root of your anxiety problem. It was teachers and adults lying to you about actual problems.
Right. Not telling you the truth.
They told you it was the killer bees, which was the problem.
And I believed them.
Yes.
But I always had a babysitter. Both my parents worked my entire life. And so I had a babysitter when I would get off the van, the little van, coming back, and my mom was at home, so I knew something bad had happened. And my dad's friend John Oganowski was the pilot of the first plane, so dad was elsewhere. My mom was home with me, and the first question I asked was, "Well, did they get the people that did this?" My mom said, "What do you mean?" And I said, "Well, in my mind, in my fourth grade mind, the people that were took over the planes had parachuted out of the plane before it hit the building." I couldn't compute the fact that people were that evil that they would kill themselves to kill all of these innocent people.
Yeah.
And that was the last time I was probably innocent in the way I looked at others.
Wow.
So, yeah, I remember that day very, very clearly.
Yep.
But it's weird to think I'm 32, turning 33. The fact that there are people that are, that are adults at this point that weren't even alive when this happened.
Right. It is.
Be grateful for every day.
Absolutely.
Every day above ground is a good day. My mother used to say so.
And the older some of us get, the less days that we will most likely have above ground.
Enjoy them.
But you know what I feel like, sadly, maybe almost as unfathomable to people that are now in high school? Not the atrocities committed by the terrorists, but the way America felt on September 12th. Because I haven't felt that in a really, really long time. And it sucked, obviously. There's this great sit-down with Stephen Colbert and Anderson Cooper, and yes, I just said that, where Stephen Colbert discusses how he's grateful for the one thing he most wishes never happened. Because if you believe in a higher power, then whatever that was is something that you can use to grow and get better from. And I think 9/11 for this country today, obviously we all wish those 3,000 innocent people were here and none of this ever happened. But it did, and because it did, we were able to see the true meaning and power of our nation. And that was people that came together to support others. I remember David Letterman had this monologue his first day back, and he talked about this town in the West, like Idaho or some town that had been going through a drought that hadn't been able to supply their people with certain things because of just the weather at that time. And he said there were a fundraiser that sent $50,000 from that small town to the fire departments around New York. And he's like, that's America.
Yeah.
And I just today, I trying to explain to someone what happened that day and also trying to express to them and describe what America was like the day after as tall of a task.
You could probably argue that it was the last time that the entire country was united. You could make that argument, Curtis.
We felt it briefly, obviously after the horrific marathon bombings. Like, there are things that occur, but that feeling of just everybody. I mean, there was every single car had an American flag.
Right.
I remember when the Yankees came to Fenway, it was like a couple weeks later. Everybody had signs, "We love New York," all around Fenway Park, and it wasn't weird. It was authentic. It was just a dark day 23 years ago.
How is the mood currently around Fenway Park? only four games out of that last wild card spot, Curtis. Just a mere four games away.
I thought it was getting a little bit better after the first game with the Orioles. I said, maybe there's a chance. Let me keep an eye on it.
Well, the problem is that the Red Sox require every other team in Major League Baseball to lose out in order to get that third wild card spot, and I don't think that's happening.
I remember every time Ken sends me a text, "Not dead yet, they lose by five." He's like, "The Twins lost four straight, right, and they blew out whoever they played last night."
Well, so, when I was watching the Detroit Lions game, I think it was Mike Tirico said, Detroit is holding on or maybe a couple games outside that third wild card spot. And then I looked and I saw the Red Sox were only three games back. I was like, oh, maybe it's something like we'll just kind of ignore for like a 2 weeks and we'll come back and the Red Sox will be a game out.
You're saying it's like a rash. If you don't itch it, it gets better. So if we are to ignore the Red Sox, they will somehow slide into that final wild card spot.
Yeah, maybe we'll turn the TV on and be like, oh man, the Red Sox are only a game behind their third wild card spot.
Okay. Well, we'll keep you updated on that. Here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. We have a lot to get to on today's show, including our leads coming up in just about 10 minutes or so, around 6:25. And then they said it at 7. We will discuss what they said yesterday in sports, and we will definitely talk about what Jason Tatum won't say about a repeat, because he doesn't want to be insensitive. Very important during these times that when talking about repeating, that one is not insensitive toward others. So we will get to that coming up during They Said It at 7. I think also we may be able to hear what remains on the outlook of Aaron Rodgers for early February. Is that correct? Is still scheduled for early February, Shime, for Aaron Rodgers and the New York Jets?
Okay. Boy, does New York suck in football right now. Holy cow. The Giants are already figuring out which quarterback they're going to take and who's the guy to replace Daboll, who 18 months ago was the talk of the town as the next great coach.
Well, I don't want to get you going this morning, but if you are somebody who believes that Bill Belichick is going to coach again, don't you look at both of those teams, Jets and Giants, as potential landing spots for him next season?
Definitely Jets, because they're like, you can walk into that organization. And I remember asking Charlie Weiss this about turnkey, and he said, well, if you're looking for a new coach, you're really not turnkey. But I think you are when you start to look at the personnel. So you walk into the Jets, you got a quarterback, you got a defense, you got playmakers. So now you just need a coach to get everybody to, gel together. The Giants, a little bit more difficult. You're going to be looking for a quarterback. Defensively, you got some players over there.
The Jets have a quarterback next year?
Aaron Rodgers scheduled to be there.
Yeah. Well,
This
is all on the premise that Rodgers will be there next year.
But do you think that Rodgers next year will be a guy that can win a Super Bowl in the NFL?
If he got the right team, why?
I think he gets hurt again this season, and then that's the end.
Well, but take the injuries out.
No, I know. But if you look at Aaron Rodgers right now, I think that if this season starts going poorly for the Jets and he can't kind of get everybody on the same page, there will be some type of injury that pops up that gets him out. that gets him, you know, riding off into
the
sunset.
Right, but the question was, do you think he's still good enough to win a Super Bowl? And if he doesn't get hurt,
I think that Achilles injury is going to play more into his mind than he gives credit.
I mean, I still think he has talent. You saw it in against San Francisco. There was times where, you know, it's not like he's falling off a cliff like Russell Wilson. You're like, what the hell is this guy doing? He's just throwing the ball everywhere.
Remember when you wanted Russell Wilson here?
I did. Actually, he was pretty good last year with Denver.
No, Wiggy, stop it.
Don't even get
stop
it twisted.
It. Two
look
years
at his
ago,
numbers.
I said to you, look at his numbers. Courtney, you should not give up everything to get Russell Wilson on the other side of the hill.
He's falling off the map, but look at his numbers last year.
Yeah.
He was actually pretty good. He only threw like 6 interceptions.
Yep.
What do you mean, yep? He only threw 6 interceptions.
How do you think he would have been here?
Not
well, it depends on the coach.
Oh, okay.
Right? Well. It depends on the coach. What was the biggest issue for Russell Wilson last year?
He looked old.
No. What was the biggest issue?
That's what I'm telling you. He looked old.
Courtney, his numbers were good.
I don't care. He looked old.
No,
it wasn't the Russell Wilson
of
old.
The biggest issue. Yes, the biggest issue he
golf
had
was Broncos country.
It was
let's ride.
Is what hurt Mac Jones, his relationship with the coach.
Yeah, he's a douche.
Well,
he's doing lunges up and down the plane when they're going
Broncos country. Let's ride.
You're not gonna get. Hey, listen, I completely agree with you. He is a douche, but if you know he's a douche as a coach, there's got to be a better way to coach guys, right? And so you. And that's what happened with Mac Jones.
Mr. Unlimited.
by the way. The Jets' big mistake, Wiggs, was having Saleh coach this team this year.
Yeah.
Because this was your best chance, and it's clear, I mean, he seems like a nice guy, but not really galvanizing the team. Mm-mm. If you wanted to really go for it,
they should get Bill for this year.
Right.
Why not? Bill's only like a three-year guy.
And he's under contract, so there would have been a deal. It would have been perfect symmetry. The Patriots traded for Bill when he was with the Jets, and then the Jets trade back.
Yeah. All right. Well, they set it at 7. Mm-hmm. News with Courtney coming up at 7:45. And bogarting the nacho cheese rage led to violence in Las Vegas. So we'll get to that story and the rest of the news with Courtney coming up at 7:45 on this morning show.
Can I just say one thing and not to make you feel old, but there's a texter on the line right now, 508 texter, who's saying that they were listening to AAF on 9/11/2001, and you were the one who told them about the attacks. To think of, like, you've been doing this for so long, but that you were a part of that historic day for somebody. This is not an old joke. It truly reading that is pretty cool to think about in the grand scheme of things. The most historic day in most people's lives, the most horrific day, but you were the one to break the news to them.
Oh, it does make me feel old.
Well,
I mean, I am.
I mean, you are old. Yeah. So it's fine.
I am. I don't feel it. But I am.
If that's you had,
or you could just say you were young at that time.
Uh-huh.
You could just say you were super young at that time, and then just you know
how young.
Which,
let's see, in 2001, I was born in 1966. So in 2001,
you're 35.
I was 30. Yeah, that's kind of young.
Can you be honest?
True.
What?
Can you be honest, Greg?
Yes.
Which was a tougher morning, September 12th or the day after the Titanic?
I don't remember that day clearly, Curtis.
Curtis, actually, I think it was the day after Pompeii.
I will say Curtis was with me on the day prior to the Titanic launch, and he had a clear forecast, no icebergs whatsoever.
I said it was going to be crispy.
It was a wild day on the radio because we stopped at some point when we figured out what was going on.
Right.
Everybody thought at first when the first plane hit that it was a small plane and it was a pilot error. And then when the second one hit, we stopped at commercials. We stopped any kind and went commercial free for the entire day because it was such an important day for the country. And it really, Curtis is spot on. Like, it's a day you got to remember it and you got to stop and think about it and what happened that day and what people did that day for others and gave their lives for others is extraordinary. So, all right. We have a lot to get to. We'll get to that next. And that includes Courtney and what is trending first thing this morning.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Subaru of New England. The Red Sox fell to the Orioles last night 5-3. Cutter Crawford went 6 1/3, giving up 3 runs on 7 hits while striking out 6. Last one with the Orioles tonight, 7:10 first pitch with Nick Pivetta getting the start at Fenway. You can hang out with Joe Weil at 6:10 for the MassMutual pregame show. Then Sean McDonough and Joe Castiglione have the call on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Right here on EEI and, as always, on the Odyssey app. Kyle Shanahan has clarified what Christian McCaffrey is dealing with injury-wise, saying he would have played in the game against the Jets if it was the playoffs, and that CMC has Achilles tendonitis. He's listed as day-to-day.
He's going to miss like half the season.
Yeah, that's Achilles not a good tendonitis thing. Did not sound good.
Yeah, anytime I hear Achilles, it's always a concern, you know what I mean? Because if that thing pops, oof.
Not to trigger Courtney, but one of my good friends in this stupid, idiotic fantasy football auction draft where y'all have $200, he spent $100 on Christian McCaffrey. And he's going to miss half the year. Tough. Well done, Condo.
In golf, PGA Tour officials, including Tiger Woods, reportedly met with representatives from Saudi Arabia's public investment fund in New York yesterday. The sides are attempting to come to terms on a deal that would inject more than $1 billion from the PIF into PGA Tour enterprises.
Ooh. Oh. Hmm. Interesting bedfellows.
I've heard some complaints about the timing of this.
Very interesting.
We just spent a lot of time talking about today being September 11th and what happened 23 years ago. And some are upset with Tiger Woods for that meeting yesterday.
You should be so upset with all of the PGA Tour leaders, because all of them told you immediately that you were basically giving money if you wanted to support the people that went to live, that you were supporting the terrorists from 9/11. That's what they told us. And they said that all of those people, all the golfers that took $15+ million to go play a season and live for their family, that they were supportive of the terrorists.
Yeah.
And now on September 10th.
Money changes a lot of things. Go real quick.
You have never been more right, Courtney.
Yeah. The Subaru of New England all-wheel drive away is going on now. Find your authorized Subaru retailer at SubaruofNewEngland.com. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. Great start today. It is beautiful in Boston. 54 degrees and clear. Very similar to that day. Beautiful afternoon high in the upper 70s.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The dichotomy in the Twitch chat is one of my favorite things. And on the Subaru of New England text line. We play Chime, great tube song, Fee Wable. You play that, and I see immediately in the Twitch chat, great song. And then the next comment in the Twitch chat is, do not let it breathe. Asphyxiate it is it basically the
all
comment.
Right. Strangle so that thing.
It's always it's the way it goes. But Fee Wable, tubes on a Wednesday morning.
Fee Wable? What does that even mean?
That's the Fee Wable, lead singer of the band, Curtis.
Oh, that's his name?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought that was the name of the song.
No. Talk to you later.
I thought that was the name of the band.
I've never heard of any of this.
No, the tubes is the name. Will you people get with the program when it comes to great music?
What program is Fee Wable? What's his full name?
And what a Fee Wable. Fall. Like, before the show, we were walking in here. I'm like, oh, I have Pink Pony Club stuck in my head this morning.
Great song.
And Greg starts singing a Sabrina Carpenter song and saying that that's what's stuck
touch?
In his head.
Or taste?
No.
The hell is Pink Pony
Espresso
Club?
He had stuck
in his espresso.
Head.
Good one.
I was singing, I'm working hard.
Late.
I'm working.
Because I'm a singer.
I'm working late. Because I'm a singer.
That's a song?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Pink Pony?
Pink Pony.
No, it's a different one. We played Pink Pony Club on the... What are you doing at times? When the radio show is going on around you, are you here?
No, are you going to die?
There is some music that I definitely...
But
when
we
it
talked
comes,
about that one. Remember Chapel Roan?
We literally played it.
Yeah, I'm with Wiggy on that. I tune out a lot of the music talk.
I don't remember.
Do you?
Yeah.
Pink Pony.
I mean, it's not... It works.
Pink Pony Club.
I'm going to keep on dancing.
No, I don't know.
Pink Pony Club.
I remember when Courtney was hesitant to start listening to Chapel
Run. And you said, just give it one car ride.
It's just a rush of dopamine.
You're going to vibe out. Yep. You were right.
H-O-T-T-O-G-O, baby. Yeah.
All right.
Remember when you were hesitant to eat 16 buffalo chicken wings in one sitting?
Yeah.
It was just a few months ago.
Yeah. Sometimes, Greg, you just gotta let free. You gotta let loose.
You do.
It's a cheat week for you.
It's
don't worry about it.
Day.
Don't worry.
It's a cheat month.
Don't worry about it. All right. We're going to get to They Said It at 7, and we'll talk about what Jason Tatum will not say about a repeat because he doesn't want to be insensitive. So that is coming up at 7, just a half an hour away. Tomorrow, Bill O'Brien, head coach of Boston College football, on this show at 6:45. Big one for them this weekend. We'll talk to Bill O'Brien about that tomorrow. And is there a Red Sox front office report tomorrow? I know it was canceled last week.
I have not heard word one from our fearless leader, Kenneth.
All right. Well, perhaps we will talk with Sam Kennedy or Craig Breslow tomorrow. Red Sox remain 4 games behind when it comes to that final wild card spot.
Craig.
We will talk about that perhaps tomorrow. Right now, though, let's get to this.
This is the Greg Hill Show. Time now for The Lead.
Chime, appropriate choice this morning. Bruce Springsteen, My City in Ruins, from his album The Rising, which is an album almost written entirely about September 11th. Well done, Chime.
Thank you.
Well done. And good morning and hello and your lead this morning.
Good morning, Greg. You know how there's certain things in life where just a few idiots ruin it for everyone else? I think it's starting to happen with sports gambling, where there is a few dum-dums, a few morons who are going to ruin it for everyone else. There was the Auburn quarterback, Peyton Thorne, said just the other day that he's now getting Venmo requests after games asking for money from people who have lost bets. Dude, like, what are you doing? This is what bugs me, is I, as a an avid sports gambler, I have a lot of money this weekend invested already. It's only Wednesday. Invested in the Chargers and the Chiefs this upcoming week.
Okay.
If, I don't know, Justin Herbert is to go out and blow the game, I'm not going to then send Venmo requests to Justin Herbert. I'm going to wallow in my own depression because I'm an idiot and I shouldn't have wagered that much money on the Chargers. Mm-hmm. It's my own fault, not his fault. Like, yeah. And that's what bugs me, is it's like, I want to do this because I enjoy it. I have fun. Every once in a while, I make a couple extra shekels. These idiots, probably mostly younger people, are wagering money that they don't have on college sports and then Venmo requesting the quarterback for the money that they lost because they were an idiot. Yeah. It's just, it's infuriating for me. I just want to be able to do it. Don't risk it, people taking it away just because you're an idiot.
Sham, yes. I told you this would happen. I told you people would
People
do
are dumb.
And your what wager are you wagers are you recommending?
Just simple money line parlay of Chargers Chiefs. Chargers to beat the Panthers, Chiefs to beat the Bengals. Line it up and kick it.
Yeah. Speaking of the Chiefs, does Travis Kelce have to practice anymore asking for my friend named Andy Reid? I mean, he's at the U.S. Open with her. Then yesterday he's at the club, the private club in New York that she belongs to, the dinner. Does he practice, or is Andy Reid afraid of him because he was old man shoved by him? Or,
well, Patrick Mahomes was with him at the U.S. Open.
Yeah, but then did Patrick Mahomes, I'm assuming, went back to practice?
I mean, if he didn't, it's okay. It's Patrick Mahomes.
But does the guy have, are they so enamored with the relationship of the century that they just say, hey, whatever you want.
I don't think it's that. I think they're just keeping him in the garage for the playoffs anyways. It's like, you're not going to do anything on Sunday, so just hang out.
No, I know, but fine. He still should be at practice, Shime. I think that there's a lot of private jets back and forth. Like, you can still go to practice and make it to zero bond in New York.
That doesn't sound very environmentally friendly.
No, it's not.
So yesterday's their day off, so.
Right.
You know, so Tuesday's their day off.
But I'm saying, if you see him pop up in New York eating
Monday they were at the Open.
Yes.
Okay, so that was not a day off.
So they probably had a victory Monday, a victory win, which means
they got Monday and Tuesday off. Fly all over the country, and then he'll practice.
See you Wednesday.
Gonna practice on Friday.
Yep.
Okay.
See you Wednesday.
All right, Shime, great lead.
Thank you, Curtis.
Good morning.
Good morning, Greg. So we've been talking with Shime's lead about accountability of gamblers. Well, I would like to talk about accountability or lack thereof of parents. So this, Mitch has it, if you're on Twitch or YouTube, it is the cover of this month's Boston Magazine. Are smartphones failing Boston's kids? If I could just use this to show what's wrong with everything. Smartphones are an invention. Inventions don't fail people. You just use them improperly. Like, God, is that stupid? And everybody blaming something else that their son or daughter has for the reason they're falling behind in school. Now, we don't need to relitigate the feelings we have about whether we should have smartphones in class. I think we've all come to the wiggy side of just having TSA-like security at all our schools. That's sad but true. If you are blaming something your child uses that you gave them for their failure, you're the failure. And I've seen it. It's not easy. I'm lucky. I don't have anybody that's of age who's using a phone and should be doing their homework, but it's difficult to parent, but it's always been difficult to parent. We always blame things other than putting in the time to invest in the people that need us most. Don't blame the teacher. Don't blame the school.
Right.
Don't blame the inventions.
Right. Yeah. Don't blame the music. Don't blame the TV for me, show, the video game.
Wiggs, when we were younger, it was the video game's fault that we were all violent. Yeah. Nope. You gave the kid the video game, so figure it out. And I just find this to be a magazine all about the education and best schools, the cover being how the invention of Steve Jobs is what's ruining us all, is absurd on every level.
Oh, great point, Curtis. It'll be interesting to see what happens as James gets older and what you're going to do when it comes to his use of the phone.
Well, it already starts. He watches Trash Truck, but it's okay. I mean, he gets upset. He throws a tantrum, sort of like I do occasionally, and then you move on. Like, it's not, nobody ever said it's easy.
Yeah.
But if it was easy, every kid would be perfect.
Yeah. He is getting sick of watching right-wing conspiracy videos, though.
he woke up this morning. He said, they ganged up on him, 3-1.
Did he wake up this morning concerned about the house pets of America, which are being eaten?
And he did. And he still has a chat. Who was the guy? Who was the kicker that was a smart boy or proud boy?
Harrison Buckner?
Is that Rohrwasser?
Yeah, he's still pissed they dropped Rohrwasser.
All right, great lead, Curtis.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
We got a lot to get to this morning, including the rest of our leads coming up next. That means a lead from Courtney, a lead from Wiggy, and a lead from yours truly next. They said it, a quick back and forth on what they said yesterday in sports coming up in 12 minutes. At 7, and then the news with Courtney coming up at 7:45 this morning. Tomorrow, Bill O'Brien, head coach of Boston College football, on this show at 6:45. Friday morning, Jelani Tavai, New England Patriots linebacker, on a Patriots Friday. But we have leads that remain, including one from Courtney. Hello and good morning.
Good morning, everybody. On the latest episode of The Quick Snap, David Andrews talking with Brian Hoyer talked about the week one win, Jerod Mayo, how great he's been, and Jacoby Brissett. And what he had to say about Jacoby Brissett only furthers my belief that this is going to be the guy, despite injury.
You mean foregoing
injury?
Okay.
That we will see throughout this season. Okay. Here's what he had to say.
Right. It's nice having a veteran presence at quarterback.
For sure.
And obviously, Drake's got a bright future ahead of him. But to kind of see and learn from Jacob, I don't have to go out there and throw it for 350 yards. And I can go out there, I can play good, smart, complimentary football. We can win games.
100%.
And I think as a young quarterback to see, like, hey, you take care of the ball, you do all the right things, you're going to give your team a chance to win. And that leadership that Jacoby provides has been great, you know, and something we've been needing, you know, and on the offensive side of the ball.
Coming off,
what a shot at Mac.
Coming off three seasons with Mac Jones and then having a lot of people want to see a rookie in Drake May start, the way in which he went about answering that question and saying that it's the leadership or it's the veteran presence has me believe that Jerod Mayo's not lying when he says that this whole team is behind Jacoby Brissett. And I said this about Jelani Tavai, too, because anytime we've asked Jelani about Drake or Jacoby, he is so complimentary when it comes to Jacoby and says that Drake really has to prove himself.
Yeah.
So in my mind, after hearing that, I think that we're going to see a whole lot of Jacoby this season.
Okay, well, hopefully he can stay healthy. If that's a part of the plan, hopefully he can stay healthy. Thank you, Courtney. You're welcome. Good morning.
All right, good morning. So we are less than a month away from, Greg, you're going to love this, the return of your beloved Boston Bruins.
Yes.
And here we are on September 11th, and we had our boy, Keefe Scoops, last week. Maybe 2 weeks ago, I'm drawing a blank exactly when it was, talk about the whispers about Swayman wanting $10 million.
Yeah.
Then we had another scoop from the, was it the Spit and Chicklet guys?
Yes.
Who said $6.2 million. I would just ask the Bruins organization, with less than a month away, what is going on with this whole situation?
Why has Jeremy Swayman not signed a deal that he likes and that the Bruins like? Why can't they meet in the middle and figure it out?
Right. And I don't, you know, maybe Shimes, the deep inside hockey free agent veterans, or with Swayman, I believe he's restricted. Find me another guy who is a major piece of their team that hasn't had a deal done. What is going on down there? I know just from the outside looking in, but if I was a player, I would feel a certain way if there was really this, if we were that far off and they didn't value what I could bring to the team. Mm-hmm. Maybe I do start a little bit high and they go, come on, Sway, $10 million?
Yeah.
All right, let's come back down to earth. Let's, you know, have a conversation of somewhere between $8-$8.5 million. But we're not even hearing that. And so for Bruins fans, there must be some concern that maybe Sway comes back 1 year and he is a little bit disappointed in the way he's being treated by the organization. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had Ray Bourque on during the Jimmy Fund, and I think he talked about maybe feeling disrespected by the organization and what that could mean to a player. So I just wonder what's going on down there because it's not a good look when you're one of your best players does not have a deal done.
Yeah.
And he's young and he has potential to be one of the best in the league.
Okay, Wiggy, thank you very much. Coaches and captains at a Massachusetts high school on the field hockey team, women's field hockey team, have decided to forfeit a game this week, citing safety concerns. This is at Dighton Rehoboth Regional High School. If you remember last season, a girl playing field hockey at that high school was injured because there was a boy playing for the other team, and he ended up taking a shot. And she was pretty badly injured during that game. They have decided they were going to play Somerset Berkeley Regional High School on September 17th. But they have decided that they are going to skip that game and forfeit it. I thought you might want to hear from the superintendent of the school, Bill Rooney, who spoke on Channel 5.
We understand that these forfeitures to Somerset Berkeley will impact our chances for a league championship and may even impact our chances to qualify for the playoffs. But our primary goal here is safety of our student athletes. As much respect as I have for female student athletes, most people are going to know that there's going to be a size and power advantage there.
I have to figure this out. Here in Massachusetts, there's a state law that allows boys to participate on girls' teams if the school doesn't offer the same sport for boys. But I think that you can just argue when it comes to especially high school age athletes,
mm-hmm.
there is a clear advantage when it comes to just strength.
Size, yeah.
Size.
Puberty, it's called.
Size, strength.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a danger for, in sports like field hockey,
yeah.
just take that sport.
Right.
There is a danger that a field hockey, never played it. Except, I think for like in gym, we did it for like a week. You know, I used to do the
yes.
little gym models or whatever. I was pretty good. But the, but it's the hand-eye, Curtis.
Oh, elite.
But there is, when it comes to shooting the field hockey ball,
mm-hmm.
there is a risk for girls who are going up against boys. And there ought to be a way to figure that out in the state
sport.
So that a team does not have to forfeit games. It's not fair for them.
No. And we fought so hard for female sports, especially at that age. And so to have it taken away from a bunch of female athletes for this reason is disappointing.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, yeah, you can say that if a girl tries out for the football team, could she get on? Maybe. But that never happens. There are tons of young girls who are interested in football, but they're, you know, football players or coaches would laugh at her if
yeah.
she tried.
Yeah.
So there's
Brockton had one. I mean, there's been
I'm
a few. But it's dangerous, though.
I know.
It's dangerous.
But what I'm saying is there's not a women's football league
right.
in at the high school level.
Right.
So...
Which they maybe
yeah.
should do.
Well,
I mean,
but that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So if you want to go that way,
do
then
a
let's...
boys field hockey.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Can he play lacrosse?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that the same thing
yeah,
as
I don't
field
know
hockey?
If they don't offer it. I don't know.
Do they
enough.
Know? Now let me.
I don't know
much about field hockey. I always thought it was a girl sport. When they're younger, is a boys
are
playing
there boys leagues? I don't think there are.
Right. So
yeah.
I just it's interesting because you're right, Greg. The size differential just between boys and boys is amazing when you
yeah.
talk about high school.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, you see it. I saw it with my kids, and you see it so many like and you brought up football, Courtney. The size differential, and just because of puberty and the way
yeah.
it is, you gotta
be
careful. But
I'm saying that if you're gonna do this, then you're gonna have to do a female league for football too. Like
yeah.
I'm already seeing the Twitch, like 5'5 and 130 pounds, you're not gonna be able to play football. Yeah, I know, that's what I'm saying.
right.
But you
yeah.
can't just have men start playing all the women's sports if they don't have a male counterpart,
yeah.
but not have anything for the women.
Well, yeah. I would say open it up, you know, start it now, and maybe who knows, in 5-10 years, we'll see girls' high school football. I mean,
yeah.
there's plenty of professional football leagues out there for women, so start it up at the youth level. That's what I would do.
Curtis is a big fan of that lingerie league.
Yes.
Topical.
Are they right. still going on?
It's on Greg's mind. I don't know.
That was, hey, listen, that was some good football. They got after it.
Right. That's all basically right. the NFL now. They don't let them hit.
Well, get past right. that. Those are today's leads. Coming up next, we'll get to They Said It. A quick back and forth on what they said yesterday in sports.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.